King Douglas and Crow Jane both turned to consider Donald Corcoran, who had ignored all of what happened, intently counting his fingers over and over again. His whole body was trembling, as though full of energy he didn't know what to do with. His face was slick with sweat, though it was only pleasantly warm in the fake garden. He looked up suddenly to glare at Douglas, his head cocked slightly to one side.
You. It's all your fault. You shouldn't have had me brought here, to Logris, to this place. I wanted to stay on my ship.
I knew what I was there. We've been through a lot together. We're connected, you see. Both changed by the terror. The Navy took me by force, boarded my ship, wrestled me to the deck, put me in a straitjacket and brought me here. I don't want to be here. I don't feel safe. I need to be out there, waiting for it to show its face again. You do know it's coming back, don't you?
Yes. If the Terra continues on the same course, it will cut a swath through all the most densely populated worlds to come here, to Logris. That's why I had you brought here, Donald, because of what you've seen, what you know. I need to know what you know.
I don't know everything I know. There's more inside my head than just me. You think I don't know what this place is? I know. I can hear the barred windows and smell the guns. Best looking rubber room I ever saw.
Corcoran looked around sharply and tensed, half crouching, as though preparing to run.
I'm never alone anymore. I'm haunted by ghosts. I can hear the voices of every man, woman, and child who died on the Rim Worlds.
They talk to me in the quiet between other people's words. They tell me what it's like to be dead.
They don't like it. They didn't like it the first time either. That's why they became the recreated. But now, all they have is me. Whatever I am now.
I will be their vengeance. Hunt down the terror and destroy it.
Make it suffer. Make it pay for what it did to them and to me. And maybe then I'll be able to sleep again.
We all want to stop the terror. Do you know how we can do that, Donald?
Corcoran looked at him sideways, smiling craftily.
Let me out of here, and I'll tell you.
Douglas looked at Crow Jane, who shook her head slowly.
I've been trying to get inside his mind, and I can't. It's spooky in there. I've never encountered anything like this before. He isn't an Esper, and he has no actual telepathic shields as such. It's just that his mind is too different. I've known aliens whose thought patterns were easier to understand. It's like a part of his mind is missing. Like not all of him came back from the Rim. Perhaps when he encountered the Terror, it took part of him and kept it.
There is a place that is not a place. Sometimes I can sense it. Just behind my shoulder. I think maybe the terror was born there. Look into me eyes, little Esper. And perhaps you'll see it too.
I can't. It frightens me.
Douglas shuddered, despite himself. Corcoran looked slowly around the garden that had been made for him, sneering at its security, denying himself its comforts. He turned suddenly to glare at Douglas.
Let me out of here! I can't be here. I have business to be about. You have no right to keep me here.
What you know or might remember could prove very valuable. All sorts of people would like to get their hands on you for what they think you know. You're safer here. Talk to the doctors, Donald. Help them to help you. And then work with us to stop the terror before it kills again.
You know nothing! You understand nothing!
Corcoran stepped suddenly forward to shout his words right into Douglas's face. Crojean drew her disruptor. Corcoran ignored her. Douglas gestured for the Esper not to interfere and stood very still as the madman shouted at him.
You can't keep me here! I won't be kept here like an animal! Do you hear me, King Douglas?
I'll come and talk to you again when you're feeling calmer. I won't give up on you, Donald. I am your king, and I will not abandon you. If you have faith in nothing else, have faith in that.
Douglas bowed to Corcoran, and then turned and walked unhurriedly away. Crojean gave Corcoran one last suspicious glance, and then hurried after Douglas, her gun still in her hand. The madman watched them go, his staring eyes suddenly calm and thoughtful. When the king and his Esper were both out of sight, hidden behind the concealing hollows, Corcoran walked off in another direction, between trees he knew weren't real, following a direction that blazed in his mind like a siren. He soon came to what appeared to be a high stone wall, the boundary of the grounds. Corcoran slowly reached out, placed his hands flat against the disguised force shield, and pushed. And his hands and arms went right through the energy screen, as though it wasn't there. Corcoran pulled his hands away and clasped them behind his back. Frustrated by his failure to acquire Donald Corcoran for the church, and furious at his treatment by King Douglas, Angelo Bellini scowled and fumed all the way back to the cathedral. He slammed out of his chauffeur-driven limousine, stormed through the offices at the back of the cathedral, and his people saw his face and hurried to get out of his way. He stalked right past his secretary, even as she rose twittering from behind her desk.
But sir, you have a visitor!
It felt good to be back in his office, in his territory, in his place of power. A good place to plot revenges and the humbling of kings. He strode over to his desk, enjoying the way his feet sank into the deep pile carpet. He sank down into his chair, activated the massage function, and finally began to relax a little. Only then Angelo remembered what his secretary had said about a visitor. He looked around, and there was Tel Markham, the honorable member for Madriguda, standing patiently beside the window.
Hello, Angelo. You're looking good as always. Like the new office, it's very you. Is that dried blood in your beard?
Go away, Tel. I don't have the time or the patience for this. I'm really very busy today. You'll just have to make an appointment with my secretary for another time, just like everybody else.
An appointment? Since when did Madriguda's two most favored sons need an appointment to talk to each other?
Oh, spare me the crap. I'm not in the mood. What do you want, Tel? You know you only ever come to see me when you want something.
I want us to be partners. We have so many aims in common these days. Think how much we could achieve working together in the house and in the church.
I already have one partner, and he's enough of a pain in the arse as it is.
But I have so much to offer, Angelo.
I very much doubt that.
Angelo smiled sardonically at his visitor.
Parliament's on its way out. The new church is where the future is. You never wanted to be my partner when I was just the Angel of Madriguda. How many times did I ask for your support back when I was trying to raise money for good causes? You never wanted to know. Never bothered to stir yourself unless there was a media opportunity you could have crashed and turned to your advantage. Well, now the tables have a turn, Tel. And you know what? you don't have a single thing I want or need. Or at least, nothing I can't take from you when I get around to it.
You always were a sore loser, Angelo. I am pure humanity, you know. A lot of MPs are. I'm sure we already have a great many acquaintances in common.
So, the rats are already deserting the sinking ship, are they? I don't care if you're Neumantel. I already have all the fanatics I need, and I sure as hell don't need another partner. What power I have is mine, and I won't share it with anyone else.
I really do suggest you think again.
Markham moved over to stand before Angelo, confronting him directly with a steady gaze.
I am now connected to people who could be very useful to you and your church. People and organizations you can't even imagine. I can make things happen with just a word here and a word there. I can open doors that even your current influence couldn't budge. I come to you today in friendship with my hands open. Deny me now, turn me away, and when I come to you again, it might not be in so friendly a manner.
Ah, shove it up your majority. You always did try and bully me out of what was rightfully mine. Well, not anymore, Tell. Don't let the door hit you on the ass on your way out.
Markham shrugged easily, entirely unmoved.
There never was any talking to you when you're in one of your moods. And by the way, give Mother a call. She says it's been ages since she last heard from you.
Angelo pointedly didn't watch as his big brother let himself out. It was turning out to be a really bad day, and the massage function in his chair wasn't helping to ease the tension in his back and shoulders worth a damn. He investigated the extent of his swollen mouth with cautious fingertips and found himself shaking with rage all over again. Douglas had actually hit him, had dared to strike him. Him! Angelo swiveled savagely in his chair, scowling and seething. The Campbell would pay for this, and pay in blood. And if he was too well guarded, someone close to him. Everyone has a weak spot. Angelo's office door swung open again, and he reached out for something heavy and preferably pointed to throw. And then he saw it was Finn Durandal, and he sank sulkily back into his chair again. He'd been right. It was going to be a perfectly foul day.
I just passed Tell Markham on the way in. What did he want?
Just a stray dog looking for scraps. I sent him packing with the flea in his ear. Why? What do you care?
Finn came to a halt directly in front of Angelo. He glanced at the visitor's chair, but made no move to sit in it.
Sometimes I despair of you, Angelo. You wouldn't recognize an opportunity if it flew over your head and crapped in your hair. Markham is a more powerful man than most people realize. He isn't just another MP anymore. He has influence in all kinds of quarters, in places even I can't reach at present. As you would know if you kept up with the reports and memos I so conscientiously send you every day. I made you my junior partner, Angelo. Do try and pull your weight. And in future, consult with me before you reject and possibly alienate a possible ally. Remember, you run this church for me, not for yourself.
Well, of course, Finn. Why don't you sit down while I order us some refreshments?
What a good idea, Angelo.
Finn came around the corner of the desk and waved imperiously for Angelo to get up out of his own chair. And he did it with such confidence and command that it never even occurred to Angelo to argue the point. He made way for Finn, reluctantly, and tried hard not to scowl too openly as the Durandal ostentatiously made himself comfortable. Finn gestured for Angelo to sit in the visitor's chair, and when Angelo hesitated, gave him a hard look that made Angelo hurry to sit down. His skin crawled as it made contact with the hardback chair. He'd had it thoroughly cleaned, of course, but still.
Poor old Roland Wentworth. But then, who needs a patriarch when I have my very own angel? Still, a transmutation bomb, Angelo? Rather excessive, even for you. Perhaps I should consider employing a food taster.
What?
Oh, I know everything, Angelo. Never think you can keep a secret from me.
Angelo's mind raced furiously. First the ecstatic, then Corcoran, and now Finn. Did everyone know about the transmutation bomb? Only his most secure and trusted people were supposed to know about that. Someone must be talking. Angelo decided it was well past time for another purge.
Well, the Patriarch couldn't just die. He had to disappear. Completely. I did what I felt necessary. How did you...
They're my people first, and only yours second. Now, what about these refreshments you offered? I confess, I'm really rather parched.
Angelo busied himself, arranging for his secretary to bring cold drinks and a few suitable snacks. He never kept such things actually in the office. Angelo was prone to comfort eating in times of stress, and he was trying to watch his weight. There seemed to be a lot more stress in his life just recently, since he joined up with Finn. The refreshments arrived quickly, his secretary all a-dither at being in the presence of the legendary Finn Durandal. Finn favored her with an autograph, and she all but swooned before Angelo ordered her out. He didn't feel like eating, but Finn ate and drank enough for both of them as he listened to Angelo's report on Donald Corcoran's condition and his expressed disinterest in the church. Angelo somewhat exaggerated Douglas's words and actions to put himself in a better light, but Finn just nodded and smiled slightly as Angelo angrily recounted being hit by the king.
Serves you right. You should have known better than to goad an ex-paragon, and he is the king, after all. For now. You can go and talk to Corcoran again, after he's had a little more time to realize how helpless he is, trapped in that madhouse. I'll send him some nice presents, a little care package of comforts and goodies, just to remind him who his friends are. And then, well, prisoners will make all kinds of deals for the promise of freedom. Of course, once he's safely in our hands.
He'll be more of a prisoner than ever.
Quite.
They sat in silence for a while. Finn had no more business with Angelo, but he seemed in no hurry to leave. He finished off the food and drink.
Not bad.
Enjoyed the chair's various massage functions.
Ah, yeah. That's nice.
And played happily with the executive toys on the desk. Angelo fumed quietly for a while, and then suddenly realized he was wasting an opportunity. So he made an effort and turned the full force of his famous charm on the Durandal. If he was ever to be free of his senior partner, he needed to understand what went on inside Finn's head. What made him tick? Maybe then he would be able to see how best to manipulate Finn and steal away his power and his people bit by bit, without him even noticing. And then...
You know, Finn, I have always wondered about the life.
So Angelo talked easily with Finn, praising and flattering him without being too obvious about it, chattering entertainingly and maliciously about people they both knew, and generally did his best to get Finn to open up and talk about himself. It was a hard task, but Angelo persevered. He felt he had to get something out of the day for himself, for his pride's sake. But it wasn't until they got around to Finn's own long career as a paragon that the Durandal began to reveal something of the real man.
Why did you stay a paragon so long?
Angelo had a strong feeling that this was the vital question, the answer that might explain much.
It's a good occupation, of course, and there's good money to be made by a sensible man. But it's not a pleasant job and no career for the truly ambitious. So why did it take you so long to turn to your true vocation?
I was content being a paragon. It was a way of proving I was the best in front of the whole empire. And I quite enjoyed being worshipped and adored, and knowing the admiration and respect of my peers. But the rewards of the job, such as they were, began to pale as I grew older. I already had as much money as I'd ever need, and I was running out of challenges. It just wasn't fun anymore, no matter how many risks I took. But now, Being a traitor and a villain is much more fun. To set myself against the whole damned empire, to be my own man and to hell with everyone else, that is what it truly means to be the best.
I should have done this years ago.
It took Douglas's ingratitude to open my eyes to the true nature of things, and I shall reward him for that. By taking away everything he cares for and values and destroying it right in front of him. Ah, Angelo, I haven't felt this alive in years.
Angelo cursed quietly to himself as Brett Random slouched in. Random nodded to Angelo and bowed to Finn. He really didn't like being up and about this early in the day, but in this, as in so many other things of late, Brett didn't have a choice. He looked dubiously at Finn. The Durandal had demanded his presence here, but hadn't said why, which was never a good sign. Brett couldn't think of anything he'd seriously screwed up just recently, but his stomach hurt so badly, it was all he could do to keep from standing hunched over. He was wearing a new outfit because he'd had to burn the one he'd worn into the lair of the spider harps for his own peace of mind, but he still looked a mess, not least because he'd had to sleep with the lights on and still had a tendency to jump at sudden noises and movements. The Uber Espers had disturbed him on levels he hadn't even known he had.
You're supposed to wait outside my office until I give you permission to enter.
Brett shrugged and spitefully made Angelo jump and twitch a little with his esp. Finn looked at Brett thoughtfully, and Brett stopped immediately.
Where's Rose?
I don't know.
Brett looked vaguely around the office, as though he thought she might be hiding there somewhere.
I thought she was with you.
Clearly she is not. I told you to keep an eye on her, Brett. I'm sure I was most specific about that.
Oh, come on, Finn. This is the Wild Rose we're talking about. She goes where she wants to go, and I, for one, am not stupid enough to get in her way.
Besides, I've not been well.
Don't whine, Brett. Go and find Rose right now. And when you've located her, don't let her out of your sight again. Is that clear?
What if she doesn't want me around?
Tell her it is my will. Though feel free to hide behind something substantial when you say it. Now, off you go. Hop like a bunny. Contact me when you've found her. Goodbye, Brett.
Brett then turned and left the office.